Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Okay, I have two new obsessions that I need to share with you. Impress No Glue Press-On Manis and Impress Press-On Falsies Lashes. Trust me, these are getting ready game changers. Both require no glue, so there is no damage to your natural nails and lashes, no mess, and no annoying dry times. Just one step and you're done. Boom. Instant glam. Visit impressbeauty.com/presson and use code PRESSON25 at checkout for 25% off Impress manicure and Press-On falsies.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
I'm Sheila Shoiga, and this is Ready to Be Real Conversations, the podcast series where I chat to people of all walks of life. Some names you'll recognise, others you might not, but my hope is that these conversations will at times inspire, challenge, educate, comfort, or simply entertain you. This week, I speak to TV presenter Karen Koster.
One thing that really struck me on Christmas Day, I went to visit Mum's grave, and I said, I just really want something of Mum around on Christmas Day. So we were hosting our first Christmas in a new house, and first Christmas without Mum. And I brought loads, so she like brought loads of her Delf that she used to serve like Christmas dinner in from the house. And as I turned around, so stupid, if you're not into it, like fast forward this a bit, but I turned around and I actually gasped, it was a massive rainbow in the sky, Christmas Day. And something in me just meant like, that's her just showing that's okay. It's so stupid. But that has happened with the rainbows a lot. And obviously it does because it's Ireland and the sunshine and rainy spells. But maybe I'm looking for it. But whatever it is, it makes me feel a bit better.
Karen lives in Dublin with her husband, John, a retired businessman, and their three kids, Finn, who's 9, JJ, who's 8, and their daughter, Eve, who's 5, along with their dogs, Brownie and Nidge. She has a degree in English literature and French from Trinity College, and she's been working in TV for the past 20 years. In this conversation, she talks about her decision to step away from her much-loved presenting job with Virgin Media's The 6 O'Clock Show late last year to spend more time with her family and to explore new career options. And she also speaks about her mum Brenda, who died suddenly 2 years ago this May, and she shares how she's coming to terms with her passing. Here it is.
This has been a big week for you, actually a big morning.
It's been an early morning. What time is it? I should be having my dinner. Yeah, I was up early this morning, up at 5 o'clock, which is very early, but I have to say I do kind of like creeping out under the cloak of darkness and escaping a school.
Okay.
Especially on a wet morning when I saw that weather, I was like, thank God I wasn't doing the school run today. It was a manky morning to be getting 3 whinging kids out the door. So, which inevitably they do when they ask, can we take the car? And they were like, no. So, yeah, it was very nice to dodge that bullet today. But yes, I have been up. I was on Ireland Day. I'm covering for the lovely Alan Hughes. So, yeah, this is lovely. I've kind of just rolled from the telly in Ballymountain to here, into your gorgeous studio.
I just think it's really interesting because obviously I reached out to you after you made your announcement back in November that you were stepping away from your job presenting the 6 o'clock show. Mm-hmm. And straight away, and you were somebody that was on my radar anyway, but I just thought the way you presented it, the way you just honestly told everyone why you were doing it. And I think it resonated with so many of us actually who have kids and who work and who know and feel that juggle. But anyway, you did that. So I obviously wanted to talk to you. But what I didn't realize is that we'd be talking on 8th of February, the same week that you're on the cover of VIP magazine on Ireland AM. It seems like you're having like quite the week.
It all happens at once, like buses, all this attention's coming at once. Yeah, it's lovely. And probably that was the biggest worry when I finally pulled the trigger and decided, that's it, I'm going to leave the 6 o'clock show. I was like, no one's going to call anymore. And I'll be telling the kids, it was this one time I used to be on TV and like this great job, but I gave it all up so I could be around more for you and you don't even appreciate it. So it is lovely that the phone has still been calling a little bit. I'm sure it'll all tail off, but I'm absolutely milking it now while I can, because it is lovely to be able to do stuff like this. Because to be honest, not that I ever had very much to say, but if you had called me a year ago, it's something like this that used to tip me over the edge. Like, it was enough just to kind of do the day job, try and run the house, try and get a few vegetables into the kids and homework handed in on time. But that was always, I was always up to there with that, yeah, you know?
Sure.
So now it's lovely to have a little bit of time and a little bit of headspace to say yes to lovely things like this that come along.
Yeah. It's a totally new chapter, isn't it? Mm. When you go from being, you know, having the, I suppose, the secure job to, yeah, now you're a freelancer.
Yeah. And that's why I didn't give that up lightly, because all I'd wanted for, it felt to me for ages, was to get into telly. So to be a staff member and have all that security and to know where you're going to show up, to even things like taking maternity leave. I know it's okay. The job is still going to be there for me in 6 months or 9 months. And like Virgin Media / TV3 were so good to me. I took parental leave. I always had July and August off since my eldest started school. But yes, it was great. We all kind of went back to school and back to work at the same time in September. So I was so appreciative of that, that it really, really was hard to kind of say, no, do you know what?
Yeah.
I'm actually, the other stuff is kind of too high a price to pay for the lovely job. So yeah. So when it all came, push came to shove. Yeah.
Because it really was the time. The time involved,
yes,
wasn't it?
Yeah, and I think actually you said, you know, Lucy Kennedy was on your very first inaugural show. I remember meeting her in the corridors of TV3, and she had had her third child and she was having meetings with the bosses about living with Lucy. And I said, and the 6 o'clock, or it might have even been the 7 o'clock show at that stage. I said, you're going back to 7 o'clock show. She's like, oh yeah, I don't really know. And I was like, whoa, 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 whoa. Like, I could not believe that she would walk away from a plum gig. Like, that's considered prime time in telly world, you know. Why, it's a mini chat show, like, it's all you kind of strive for, you're getting to talk to big names and all the rest of it. So I remember, and then when I started doing the job very quickly, I was like, oh no, I get it. Because when you've kids in primary school,
yeah,
you walk out the door as they come home from school, and that is not what I really had appreciated at the time when I accepted the role.
Yeah. And then you're coming home when they're going to bed, probably.
Yeah, like, I thought, oh, they're a bit older now, it'll be fine. But Eve hadn't even started school. So then you're keeping everyone up a bit later to have a bit of time with them. And I remember the first week I did the job, like, I was determined to make that hour, 2 hours count, that, like, I was doing jigsaws, we were playing Twister. I was absolutely wrecked, because as much as I love TV, and I find it not a hugely difficult job, having done it for as long as I have, you still kind of turn it on for the camera and you do try and razzle dazzle, and you're definitely getting the best version of me when the red light is on. So then when you come home, you just kind of rest, yeah, you on a glass of wine. You want someone to hand you your dinner and have a nice bath. So to be like, right, kids, let's get stuck into the homeworker, you know, it was harder than I just kind of appreciated. I thought leaving Ireland AM was going to change my life in the sense that I would have more energy and I wouldn't be getting up at 5 and I wouldn't be stressed about interviewing ministers and all that kind of stuff. But when you look back, probably working when the kids were asleep was, you know, probably a gift, really, even though it's hard to do on a long-term basis. It was very hard working after they came home from school.
Yeah. It's never easy though, is it?
Like, no, it's actually, you know, there's no perfect scenario.
No.
And I knew that when I was a working mom, at all stages, something's got to give. But it just, like, there was kind of a momentum gathering there that I just thought, I could see it in them, I could see it in John. And I only did 4 nights a week. I wasn't even doing the Fridays. Mm. I could just see the cracks were appearing by Thursday. Everyone was just a bit sad.
And missing you.
Yeah, just missing mom. Yeah, like, you are the anchor. I know dads are great and John is certainly a very hands-on dad. But like,
yeah, yeah,
I'm the manager of the team, you know?
Yeah, yeah,
he's,
yeah,
assistant,
sure,
coach.
And homework, I mean, what I'm finding really interesting, because, you know, I have two kids, but only one is going to school.
Yeah.
Is that I didn't realize, I was like, did I just completely blank out this from my childhood? I didn't realize the homework was also done by the parent.
Yeah, it's a bit much,
I'm
to
like,
be honest.
What? Oh, I missed that memo.
I have no memory either of my mother ever sitting down and doing,
like,
homework with me.
What? What's this about? So,
I know.
Yeah, so, but you have that by three because has Eve started school now? She has.
Yeah, she's in junior infants.
Okay.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Oh, yeah.
It's all good luck.
I have fully joined the abolish homework brigade. Get rid of it. It's just causing fights and stress in every household up and down the country. So I'd be happy to say goodbye to that for sure.
So you were noticing this, you were feeling this, but did it take a while for the decision to be made or was it instant? No, this has to happen.
No. It was almost all this kind of stuff was gathering and different things were happening in the bigger picture. And like if one of those things had happened, I think I would have just kept on pushing through because for me, you just don't give up a job like that. Like the only thing I said to Ray Foley on Today FM when he was like, what have you done? I was like, I know, I've never quit anything other than the gym. Like I literally don't give up on anything. I stuck out a 4-year degree when I got a telly book and I was in completely the wrong course. But I was like, no, I'm not going to quit. I'm going to just finish this and then I'll get stuck in. So I'm just not a quitter. I don't pivot. I don't think it'll be fine. I'll just do this. It's like, no, you stick with it. You just make it work. And
Okay, so I know you're using words like quitting. I didn't see it that way for you though, right? So just as somebody who was looking at, you know, what you said in the telly.
I was very emotional. God, the emotion got the better of me.
No, I thought it was gorgeous actually and so genuine and I really felt it. I felt it was extremely empowering to watch somebody take control and make a decision coming from what they feel is more important. And I thought it was honourable and I had huge admiration for you, still do. And it's not easy. I know what it's like. And anyone, regardless of whether you work in the media or not, stepping away from a job that you really enjoy and that is feeding that creative part of you, it's really, really hard to do. But knowing the reason why you were doing it, you'll never regret that.
Yeah. And everyone did say that to me because that was my number one worry. I'm going to regret this. It'll be a novelty for 6 months and then tumbleweeds. I'll be bored at home and I'll be bitter and I'll resent the family and I'll be like, what the hell have I done? I just walked away. Like whatever about if someone said, your time's up, Karen, we're actually getting new hosts in. That would be something else. And that obviously happens in this industry. But the fact that it was lovely that I was able to say it on my terms, but you know, it might have been easier if someone had just fired me, do you know the way? Because it was like, oh, you don't leave these type of jobs. But
as you said to me as well, you're not retiring.
Yeah.
This is not the end. No, you've just made a decision that that job within the hours that it was just didn't suit you to your life
and
anymore.
I couldn't commit to it. And I'd been very open with the bosses. She said, I've been banging on for about a year and a half. How would you feel about pre-recording 6 o'clock, the live 6 o'clock show, 2 o'clock in the afternoon? And I wasn't going down well. So they knew. They were not surprised when I came at them. They're like, here she comes now. She's asking for her summers off and her Christmas holidays and her Easters and all the rest of it. So they always knew my priorities, but they also knew how much I loved the job. So that's why I popped up on Ireland AM a couple of weeks after leaving, because I said, look, I still want to be in this kind of family as such. Like, keep me on the roster, call me if you ever need a dig it. You know, I'm a safe pair of hands. I'll try and be flexible, but it's just I couldn't commit to four nights a week, and the show needed the continuity of someone there, and I felt like the show deserves and the viewers deserve someone to love being there, and I just wasn't able to make that commitment anymore.
Yeah,
it's hard though.
It's very hard. Let's go back to the beginning, because I know it's about 20 years you're in telly, is it?
Yeah, I was 22 when I started there. Yeah. I was a runner. So I would have done, I was trying to get work experience in TG Carr at one stage. My very first screen test was Ask Elga, which is so humiliating. It was so bad.
Oh, brilliant.
Yeah, I was still in Trinity and there was literally like an ad on one of the notice boards and they were looking for, I can't even remember what it was, but they were like, do you have Irish Adair Productions? Were the people behind it? And I was like, no, but I'll give it a go. And so that was terrible. But then once I knew someone in there and I was like, I'm going to get an email for him. So during the last couple of years of my degree, I was trying to get some work experience. And then I managed to get on, like they call it like a panel of runners. I don't know if it's the same on Orty. And Ryan Turbidy was making a quiz show called All Kinds of Everything.
Okay.
And Mario Rosenstock was on that. So I was a runner on that. And Neil Delamere was the warm-up guy. I remember it so vividly. And then I had auditioned for this thing. Things I didn't get. Caroline Morhen ended up winning. It was like,
called
the Selection Box. It was like a reality show to find a presenter for this quiz show. It actually predated Popstars. So it was actually, ahead of its time. Caroline Morhen won that. I didn't. I was devastated and I went off and went to the Trinity Ball that night going, I got a TV presenter. I'm so close. But that just gave me the taste. So I used to hound Adair Productions for any little scrap of work that they would give me. Then I got a, the runner job in RTÉ. And then again, TV3 advertised for a reporter role for Ireland TM. I didn't get that either. But they asked, would I like to join as a researcher and potentially fill in for Alan Hughes on the weather? So then that was kind of my apprenticeship. That's where I kind of, I feel my so real kind of college started.
Yeah. And then obviously the big gig, which was on TV for so long. And really, I think it's safe to say was iconic in its time.
Loved it. Yeah.
Exposé.
I feel like this, it's gone so long now. It nearly feels like there's a bit of nostalgia for it. Yeah, we had an absolute ball making that show.
Yeah,
that was the dream gig, to be honest. It was, for anyone too young to remember, that hair hurts actually when people say they watched it when they got home from school. I'm like, ow, I'm old. So yeah, like that job was, I remember again going for a screen test for that and they wouldn't tell me what it was for. They were like, you do the weather, will you read out this bit of OSHQ? And they wouldn't tell me what it was for. It was against a green screen. There was all these lines, but it was like, I could tell it was celebrity. And I'm like, that was just totally my bag. It's like a 23-year-old, 24-year-old. I was like, oh my God, it's a celebrity news show. So I made sure that they knew I was very interested. And then sure, when we were up and running and Lorraine Keane was at the helm, we thought we got the best jobs on TV. It was red carpets, it was interviewing celebrities. Yeah. We were at fashion weeks, we were at awards shows. We had an absolute ball doing it. I loved it.
And what am I right in thinking that it wasn't just a case of doing the reporting, but you were doing a lot of the video editing and that kind of stuff as well?
Yeah. We were
really
very hands on. Yeah, like you literally, and it was, you know, back in the day at tapes. How old? I just feel like technology's moved on very fast. I'm actually not that old, but we could be in London and you'd have your tapes and you'd be racing to get your flight home and going straight into TV3, putting your tapes in the machine, loading them up and editing them and choosing your music and your shots. And it was like, we were literally sitting there with headphones like this going, which was brilliant. Because then once you knew how to do it, you kind of, you were literally producing your own segment, your own part of the show. So it was brilliant, the sort of control and freedom we were given. So yeah, I do kind of look back on that as my heyday. You know, it was just fun, and we got access to Oscars, BAFTAs, Cannes Film Festival, New York Fashion Week. We were backstage. It was such a buzz. Honestly, I loved it.
Give us a few names, because I know you spoke to a lot of biggies.
Yeah, that's a while ago now, but
Beyonce?
Beyonce's in there, Rihanna, Julia Roberts. Who else? God, I'm going blank now already. Because I was always very shy about getting pictures. Lisa Cannon and Glenda Gilson were brilliant. They would jump on anyone's lap and drunk it and ask for a picture. I was like, I'm so sorry for bothering you. So, God, I can't think. Sarah Jessica Parker was fabulous.
Did you ever get to meet your doppelganger, Reese?
thanks for saying that. I think I've aged out of that now. Fewer and fewer people are saying that to me, Sheila.
You
must have
showed
my years.
Did get a lot of that, though, didn't you?
I did, actually. And what's his name? I always get his name wrong. Oh, famous. Morgan Freeman said it to me, actually, in a junket. And he said, you remind me of that actress. And it was whatever she said. He said, from Sweet Home Alabama. And it was Reese's. And so I was delighted with that. Dying date and that for ages. I only asked her one or two questions at the premiere of Water for Elephants with Rob Pattinson.
Oh, yeah.
Wasn't a great movie. And when I saw her in real life, she's like 4 stone. She's tiny. Well, she was back then. So I was like, yeah, no, we're not so like in the flesh. But yeah, it was a great time. It was a busy time, but definitely when I became a mom, those last minute phone calls, are you free to go to London?
Yeah,
it was like,
okay.
Oh, don't ask me, ask one of the others.
So Finn is 9.
Yeah, correct. On New Year's Eve. I was born on New Year's Eve. Yeah. And JJ came 14 months later. He is a leapling. So he will officially finally turn 2 on the 29th of February in a couple of weeks. Yeah. And then Eve is 5 and a half.
Amazing. God, that's busy.
They were busy, yeah. I had 2 under 2 for a long time, actually. And I remember interviewing Jamie Dornan when his movie, The Siege of, what's that one where he was a soldier? It was a true story. Siege of, I'm going to look back on this.
I can't help you.
The Siege of Jadotville, I think. I hope I'm not doing a disservice to anyone who had granddads who served there, but it was a premiere in the Savoy. And I remember saying to him, I belong in the same club as you, the 2 under 2. And I actually was like, he looked at me in such a way, I was like, I get you. I could see the tiredness and, you know, he was hanging on by a thread. And he was like, oh yeah, it's tough going. I was like, actually, I should really talk to your wife because I'm sure she's the one doing all the work at home. But yeah, it was busy having 2 under 2. And then I kind of missed not having that because I felt like like I kind of wore that as a badge of honour. Like, yes, I have had two boys very close together. And John will always say every household should have a 2-year-old in it because they are so joyful, children at that age in particular, because the words are coming and the personalities are getting bigger and bigger.
It's magic.
So I probably do miss that stage. Yeah, it was a busy time. Busy time. No
so
regrets.
You did expose for how long?
I think I did it for about 12 or 13 years. And then when I was on maternity leave with Eve, who's now 5 and a half, my boss at the time, Victoria Bryan, asked what I do around him. I said, are you having a laugh? Like, no, it's so early. There's no way I could cope. And I remember her pointing to Holly Willoughby at the time, who was presenting this morning. She was like, Karen, you're our version of that, basically. And she was like, we really see you in that role. And I was like, really? Because like the current affairs stuff that, you know, is a big part of R&M isn't my bag. And I was like, I'm going to be such an imposter. I'm such a fraud going in there. But it worked out in the sense that Ciara Doherty was on maternity leave, so I started filling in for her and then filling in a bit more. So then I ended up being there over COVID and everything. So it was a really strange time to work on that show.
Yeah. And as somebody who might not be into current affairs, like, did you find those interviews with ministers a bit scary, I suppose?
Can I say I would shit the bed every single time? 100%.
Yeah,
it just, and for people who are into it, they love it. But then because I'm not into it, I feel like stupid then because I was like, oh God, if I ask this question, like I remember during COVID, Paul Reid, who was, you know, the head of the HSE at the time, like I just used to go, oh God, are you really tired? Like how much sleep are you getting? Like I was just far too sympathetic.
No, but that's, do you know what? You're probably just asking the questions that a lot of people at home want to ask.
Oh, I don't know. People say that. It's like, there's no stupid questions. I'm like, no, there really are. And like, Tommy Bowe was kind of only just starting at the time. Obviously, like he'd done a lot of sports presenting, but it was his first kind of foray into this kind of lifestyle programming. And he was really good at like pushing. I'd be like, oh, geez, the two of us can't be mean. And, you know, our producer would be there. No, you got to stir the pot. I respect you more for it. And I was just like, oh God, I just feel it's just not in me to be that confrontational person. That just wasn't the right fit for me. So then when I was asked, would you give up 6 o'clock show? Again, I just kind of bounced around very happily. 6 o'clock show go. I said, absolutely. I won't have to get up at 5 o'clock anymore. And I can just stay in that lane of light entertainment, which is where I'm the most comfortable.
Yeah.
So that's how that kind of happened then.
So I'm going to switch now to your family of origin, because I know that you're the youngest.
I haven't talked about family of origin since you do your marriage course. Did you ever do one of them? Let's talk about your family of origin. You're like, Yes.
It sounds very official, actually, family of origin. I'm not really sure
the Costers.
Why I even said that. But you're the baby and there's a bit of a gap between you
there
and your siblings.
Yes. Zoe, my sister, is 10 years older than me and Greg is about 13 years older than me. So yeah, so I'm the baby by a good bit. Planned by my mum, actually, she would say, because, or she would have said, she could see Greg and Zoe kind of having their own lives and, you know, getting bigger and going out into the world. And my dad, hairdressing is his family business, our family business. And he was still opening up shops. And she was like, what do I love doing? She's like, I like having babies. So she had me. And I just popped along and it wasn't a mistake, wasn't a surprise, maybe to my dad, but no. So
nice
little planned third kid. And funny enough, in later years, she had said then, I maybe should have had another one because she was maybe 38 having me, which was considered older, like 42 years ago. She thought maybe she should have had another one to kind of keep me company because I have no memories of like Zoe or Greg ever playing with me or any of that kind of stuff. But I kind of liked it because now I have a lovely bank of memories of doing stuff just with mum and trips with her or shopping trips with her or days out in town. So yeah, it all panned out well in the end. And now there's no gap. Do you know what I mean? Like I'm thinking seas about Greg and Zoe, you know.
Well, while we're here, if it's okay to talk about your lovely mum, because I'm so sorry.
Oh, thanks, Sheila.
Yeah. And the last few years, I suppose you've been trying to navigate life without her, rearing your kids, keeping the show on the road. You've had a lot happen over the past. It's 2 years in May that she passed away.
Exactly. Yeah. She would be so delighted to hear Sheila Shoga talking about her. So like that, she was that obviously, her passing so suddenly was a major, major reason that I was like, I know life is short, but God, she was gone like that. Mum
was
wasn't
she?
Sick.
Okay.
She was on no, like to be honest, maybe she could have been on some medicine really because it was a massive heart attack in the end, but she'd never had stents. She wasn't taking anything extra like prescription, didn't go to the doctor. And they were like, maybe we wish she'd gone to the doctor, but like there was no worry about anything. There was no red flags. But I literally talked to her on a Saturday morning. And I hope Amy Huberman doesn't mind me saying this. I kind of know Amy, but I remember hearing about her dad's death. And I went, oh my God, that is just so awful. And I think I might have even said to Mum, God, Amy's dad is after passing. And then that afternoon, Mum was gone. So it's so bizarre. We were talking about Eve's birthday that was happening the following week. John was away that weekend, I remember. And I remember vividly our last conversation. I was like, Mum, I feel like I'm running Dublin Air traffic control here. I have kids coming here. I'm so proud of myself. I've got everything going. Everyone's turning up to football practice at the right time. And she's like, that's absolutely fantastic. Now, make sure you let me know what Eve wants for her birthday, because I want to have it here ready for her. So you let me know. And I was booking a bouncy castle for Mum's garden because it was going to be June the 8th. And yeah, we had a lovely last chat and then that was it. It's the weirdest feeling. It's still so weird to say that she's gone. It's so weird. So weird. And I don't know if that's because of the suddenness that we never saw her sick. We never even had a trip to the hospital. There was no, oh, we're waiting on blood tests, we're waiting on tests. So I think that's probably why your head just can't really catch up with the reality, because there's no, oh, but she'd lost a lot of weight or she wasn't looking well. Like she looked fit as fiddle, you know?
How do you feel about not having got to say goodbye?
In a way, if you'd met my mum, maybe it's kind of perfect that we didn't. Okay. Because she wouldn't have been, like, she was delighted when COVID came in. She was sick of all the kissing and the hugging. Don't be coming near me now. Oh, I don't even know the person that's coming in to say hello and give us a kiss. Like, so she wouldn't have been, and I don't want to do her disservice, but she was off her time. Like, she wouldn't have been like, love you, love you, love you on the phone or any of that. But yet I knew it and I felt it. She, you know, so I can't really imagine sitting down and having a heartfelt last now. You've been a wonderful mother, or you've been an exceptional daughter. Obviously, she would have said exceptional daughter. But so I can't really even imagine that. So that actually, I don't have any regret about that. I do remember, it's weird the way the week had panned out. You know, the way it's all so crystallised now. I remember every day in the lead up to it. We had been at our holiday home in Wexford on the Sunday because the weather had been so beautiful. And I was working on 6 o'clock show on the Monday, and we never do this. Like, we have a pretty good work ethic in our house. Your head literally has to be hanging off you if you're getting a sick day off school, right? So I always shove the kids in, which is probably bad during COVID times, or, you know, post-COVID times, should be more careful. But I remember being down in Wexford and I was like, do you know what, guys, I'm going to give you the morning off. We're going to stay overnight in Wexford. The weather's beautiful. Let's go and visit Nan on the trip home back up from Wexford to Dublin. And I'm so glad I did that, because I would never have done that on a Monday random morning when they should have been in school. That I called into Mum's house. Zoe was there. So bizarre. Like, Finn was even playing on my phone. So I have weirdly like a video he shot of Mum standing in her kitchen. And so I have a lovely memory of even pulling out of the driveway and saying goodbye. And Mum, I remember saying to the kids, now give Nana a hug now, please. And she said, if they don't want to hug me, leave them be. They can come to me. Like, as in she would never force that on them. She's like, no, leave them be now. So I don't think I even hugged her goodbye, which is sad to say, but it was kind of nice that yeah, was, as yeah. in I remember it so vividly, but I don't have regret that there wasn't that. And now you're going and, you know, thank you for everything. Because she knew it and yeah. I knew it.
There is something in that though, or is there, do you think, in the sense that that wasn't the norm for you to take the kids yeah. out of school.
Yeah.
But yet, mm-hmm. that week of all weeks
yeah,
that you just
I
decided
do.
To do this.
Yeah, I do think there's something in it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just the way it all panned out. And also Mum was a private person, so she wouldn't have liked to have been in a hospital. She wouldn't have liked people prodding at her, doctors coming in. Do you know what I mean? So as much as it has been so brutal on us, I try and find the mercy in that, in actually being taken suddenly and not knowing what's around the corner. So much so the Mum even wore like an emergency brace and she didn't even have time to press that.
Oh, right.
So even in that sense, it makes me feel it was lights out. My brother-in-law, yeah. Barry, is a doctor. And even though cardiac isn't his specialty, he was like, Karen, she would have closed her eyes and that would have been it. So yeah. stuff like that, look for the mercy in all of that.
Yeah,
like, it's
sure.
hard to, obviously, people obviously go through far more devastating things, but she was the first big loss in my life. So I try and look for those little mercies along the way when I think back.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Is the shock of hearing the news, though, that she was gone, is that still something that you're processing?
Yeah, I kind of replay it. And it's weird. There are funny little triggers, which I don't want to overuse that word now because it is so overused. But I was in Dundrum Town Centre with the three kids and my sister rang. And now I even remember where I was and like the sort of travelator escalator thing. And when I'm back there, it's like, oh,
okay, yeah,
that's where I got the call.
Right.
So there are things like that. Think about it a lot, actually. You do kind of replay that. And how did I drive there knowing? How did I, you know, had to offload the kids very quickly because I didn't know what I was driving home to and those kind of things. And you drive past the house and yeah, it is, you don't want to forget it either. So I don't, I'm okay with thinking back on the last day of it all, you know, but it's just so desperately sad for anyone who loses someone suddenly like that. It's sad in any circumstance. But the fright you get, even though the worst has happened, it's still such a fright.
Yeah. Oh, God, I'm so sorry. Yeah. Because it does sound like he had a gorgeous relationship.
Yeah, she was
yeah.
the best.
Yeah. And I would imagine it was also a big factor in the decision that you made.
Totally. Totally. And but in saying that, I'm glad I didn't do anything sudden when she did die, as in... Well, number one, she would have told me to get out the door and put the makeup on and do the job. Do you know what I mean? But like, I really needed work. Mm. I really needed that structure in place to get up and get out and all the rest of it. So I really appreciated it. And Greg O'Shea was working with me at the time. And he is just like, he's such a positive person. He was kind of the perfect partner to be around. He's just such a good energy. And bizarrely, what was weird, again, a funny thing, he got the job. But he'd been there the day I had told people on the 6 o'clock show. Because I was like, guys, I'm going to come back to work after a couple of weeks, but I can't sit here and interview a comedian who, it was actually Alison Spittley was on that day, and Marty Morrissey, who bizarrely as well had lost his mum very suddenly. So I was, I was looking for signs everywhere, giving me all the signs. And Marty Morrissey was so sweet. And we had a lovely conversation about our mums after the show. And he was like, you've a long, tough road ahead, you can't, I'm not going to lie, you're very raw. Like, your mum's only gone a couple of weeks. But even just talking to him, I was like, I feel so much better even just being around you, having gone through. And actually...
Because he got it.
Yeah. And then I did say to them on the show, I was like, please can I mention it? I can't be here with a smile on my face thinking everything's grand. You know, go, tell us about your upcoming gig. What are the dates? Where can we get our tickets? So I really appreciated that as well. Like, they let me put up a lovely picture of me and my siblings with mom. And I was able to say, but Craig was there that day, even though he wasn't even, he was just guest hosting that day. So it's funny. And then he ended up working with me for the last year. So it was, again, another little bit of synchronicity. Could be nothing totally random, but I like those kind of coincidences. And I was like, he kind of saw me wobble there. And yet he was the person I got to hang out with for the last year. So again, that was something nice that I did really appreciate, you know. But yeah, work definitely served its purpose. I kind of just needed to cover that really raw patch where you feel like, you know, your nerves are on show. So work served the purpose. Yeah, very much so.
And it did seem like you guys had a lovely friendship, actually.
Very good friendship. Yeah. I mean, I was gutted. I was so much older than him. I was like, you're perfect for the job, except that I'm 12 years older, I think, anyway. Like, he'd say stuff. I mean, he was born in 1994. Do you know what I mean? I was like, you know, you'd say something and he'd be like, And I'm like, oh, you don't remember that? Like, anyway. So, but he is such a good soul and such a lovely person. And he just has a really good energy to be around. So we had a lot of fun together. You know, it was a real sweet year to have together because he was such a dote. Like, he really is.
Because right after your announcement, he made his announcement.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Bed out together. Again, and I like that we got to do that together.
Yeah.
So he's pursuing other ventures and he's an absolute diamond. He's all gorgeously loved up with Shani, beautiful girlfriend. And actually really weird. We went on a family holiday the next day after I left the 6 o'clock show, and he was doing a job actually, but we were on the same flight.
Ah, stop. And did you know that?
No. We did, but only in the last few days.
All right.
So
okay.
We ended up, we were like, oh, let's get the tongues wagging now and work. Was they rough to join? We're going international, getting on a flight for G Ventures.
But you'd both,
on the same flight.
That's gas. So you'd both booked your flights independently and then just, okay.
Yeah.
Your life, there's how many in this chat that we're just having here, there have been moments that you're talking about a lot of coincidences.
Yeah.
And I suppose a lot of people, you know, think a coincidence is exactly that. But I don't believe personally in coincidences. I believe that everything has its own little bit of magic, bit
do
of divine you? Timing. I do, yeah.
Yeah.
I do.
Do you look for robins and white feathers and rainbows?
Well, I don't necessarily look for them, but I've had plenty of situations in my own life. And I'm a realist. I'm really pragmatic.
Yeah.
But I've had too many situations in my life where things have happened and I'm going,
really?
Something else is going on there, yeah.
Yeah. Like one thing that really struck me on Christmas Day, I went to visit Mum's grave and I said, I just really want something of Mum around on Christmas Day. So we were hosting our first Christmas in a new house and first Christmas without Mum. And I brought loads, so stupid, like brought loads of her Delf that she used to serve like Christmas dinner in from the house. And as I turned around, so stupid, if you're not into it, like fast forward this bit, but I turned around and I actually gasped, it was a massive rainbow in the sky on Christmas Day. And something in me just meant like, that's her just showing that's okay. It's so stupid. But that has happened with the rainbows a lot. And obviously it does because it's Ireland and the sunshine and rainy spells. But maybe I'm looking for it. But whatever it is, it makes me feel a bit better.
Yeah.
And I'll go back and report to John and he might be a bit cynical. But I'm like, unless you've kind of lost someone, you know, you just take your comforts where you can. There's no harm in it.
So you feel her.
Yeah. And actually, I remember the priest saying that to us when he was talking to us when we were planning our funeral. She's like, he said, you know, when we are older, we don't see our parents every day, but almost when they leave us, you feel them every day. And I got loads of comfort from that. Mm. Although I was looking for parking angels. I was like, Mom, send me a parking angel. I need a parking spot now. I'm doing Sheila's podcast and she didn't deliver today. But there's lots of that.
We'll leave her off that one.
So you'll have a pass.
Yeah.
So yeah, there have been things like that you go, that's Mom now. And she loved robins. And so when you see a robin, of course, I'm like,
John's
like, there's a robin there and then a ball and crying then, you know, in the kitchen. But it helps me. So I'll take it.
Absolutely. Yeah. Grief changes you.
Yeah. Actually, I did in VIP that you mentioned, Bianca, the editor, quoted C.S. Lewis to me. And then I looked up the quote and I'm going to butcher it now, but it's something like, I never knew grief felt so like fear. And I remember saying that to Zoe, my sister. She's like, I'm really scared. And I was like, I know, I feel scared as well. Like it's, and as I said to you, the worst has happened, but you almost wake up with a fear. And it's like that, not wanting to go to sleep or, you know, or just waking up with that fright. It's really odd. And it does change you on a cellular level. Like I remember, and this will sound like a really odd comparison to draw, but I did say on the day, like, this is really weird. I'm sitting like in the family garden and all me and my dad and my brother and sister are looking at each other going, what the hell? Like, Mom. And I remember my brother going, Mom, what have you done to us? Like this was just not the way it was supposed to play out. And I remember saying, I said, I feel so weird and so changed. I feel like the day I gave birth to Finn. Because that day I remember, well, first of all, I found labour and all that much more difficult than I was expecting. And I was like, I'm never going to be the same together. I feel like every cell in my body has changed. And I felt that when Mum died, it's so weird. My dad actually just texted me something. It's like, when a daughter loses her mum, like then that's when, now I really feel like the mom. And another time I had a breakdown, I'm sure people could relate, the first time I had to buy the turkey for Christmas, burst into tears in front of the butcher. And he was like, you okay? And I'm in this massively packed butchers, whatever, on Christmas Eve. And I spoiled. I said, I'm so sorry. I've never had to buy the turkey before. Mum used to buy the turkey. And it's like that. And I think Zoe, my sister, said that as well. It's like, now the book stops with us. Like, we're the moms. And she, I know Zoe's found that hard. Like, she's really missing Mum as that sounding board, as a what you do. And like, she was quite literally the mothership. And that's who you go home to. And that's where me and Zoe would have caught up a lot. Or me and Dad or Greg, you know. It's the family home. And now that's not there. So that's a big hole. You know, you do feel that void. But yeah, it changes you. So I can't even, and I lost a parent. That's the natural cycle of life. So I cannot bear to think about people who've lost children or something that's not the natural order.
Yeah,
because it doesn't feel natural when you lose someone in the natural order that, yeah, it does change you. It's bizarre. And again, it's the only bloody thing we can rely on in life is that we're all going to die. And yet it's such a massive shock when it happens.
Yeah. And then moments like that, I suppose, you're not expecting where a wave of grief is just going to hit you.
Mm. And actually, I always like when it does, because sometimes if you are feeling normal or happy, you feel weird. You're like, I should feel sad all the time. This is in the early days. Okay. You know, so I'm like, I remember my sister, she was like, when are you going to have your mental breakdown? Because you seem okay. Because I was kind of functioning with work and stuff. So that was my other worry. Like, oh my God, I'll be freelance. The phone won't ring. And suddenly the tsunami of grief will hit me. But I think I'm okay. You know, I think that the rawness is gone. And I do kind of relish, sounds bad, but I don't mind when I get sad or someone mentions her. And actually, another shout out for Ryan Tuberty. He said, my sister bumped into him in Glasthule. And she said, he'd had a guest on that day talking about grief. And she said to him, I just want to say, I really appreciate it. Now, she didn't say, I'm Karen's my sister or anything, even though I would know Brian in passing term, you know, to say hello to whatever.
Yeah, sure.
I haven't met him over the years. And she said, I really appreciated that guest because I lost my mum recently. And he just said to her, what's her name? And so I just went, oh my God, Brenda. And for someone to ask the name, I know it sounds so small, but I think when people hear, oh, her mom died, her dad died, you go, oh, well, what age was that? Mid-70s or 80s? And you kind of maybe might be a little bit dismissive. So then she said it actually caught her off guard. And then when Zoe relayed the story to me, I got goosebumps because I was like, it's such a small thing to say to someone, what was their name? But in that moment, that person is alive again. Yeah, and you get to talk about them. And it's almost that thing of, don't be afraid to ever say to someone, I'm so sorry about your mom, because I haven't forgotten, so you're not going to upset me. It's actually lovely that someone remembers that that happened to us.
Yeah.
So I remember then saying it to my sister-in-law. And again, she met someone on holiday who'd been through bereavement. And she said, and what was your daughter's name? And again, the mom got visibly upset because she was just, but almost with the happiness to go, that she was able to kind of bring her daughter back in that moment and say her name. So yeah, so that is a very good little life hack that I definitely taught our family in times of grief. But it's actually just such a small thing. So we'll always try and do that for someone if they say that to me, because it's lovely that that person gets remembered.
Nice.
Just in that way.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is very deep. Sorry, Sheila.
Don't
you have
sorry.
Me on the edge of tears. I knew you would.
Oh, no, I don't mean to. I certainly don't mean to. No, but I think it is lovely. And I sense from what you're speaking, and I never met your mum, but from what you're saying about her, would it be right in thinking that you were quite similar?
Yes, I think so. Yeah, I'm getting more like it. My hair is getting shorter. Actually, it was quite funny. Even on Ireland AM, the runner took a picture of me and I looked at it and I was like, oh, I got a jolt. And even Zoe was like, geez, you look so like mum with that picture. And now I'm like, I'm delighted to now. Whereas someone said, you look like your mum. I'm like, oh, Jesus, am I looking like mum? Whereas now I'm like, I'm delighted I'm looking like my mum. So yeah, there's definitely a physical resemblance is becoming more prominent, which I probably am. I'm probably very pragmatic like she was. And yeah, I probably am.
Yeah.
I hope so.
Yeah,
I don't know, you'd have to ask the family and see what they'd say. You leave such pauses that I'm like, should I keep filling these pauses?
No.
I'm not used to it. I'm like,
this is the beauty. See, this is the beauty
I'm
of it.
I'm not used to it.
I know. It probably feels kind of scary.
Yeah, and I'm like, do I have to keep talking during the silence?
Oh, please.
I'm real awkward. I'm like, I don't like silences.
Oh, no, sorry. I don't
no,
mean to make
good,
you feel awkward.
But then I don't want to overfill.
I'm just listening to you and taking
okay,
it in.
It's
because
interesting.
I suppose I have lost grandparents, but I haven't. My parents are alive, so I haven't experienced the level of grief that you have.
Your sister's talked about, though, her decision to move back growing up, saying, you know, your folks are around, so move back to Ireland, and be there
well,
and make
it.
The moments. And actually, that's one thing, sorry, I'm deviating now, but after COVID, and that's only probably one thing, because you do go, God, her last few years was so much of COVID and us standing in the garden and talking to her through a window. But what I am grateful for is that Zoe was brilliant at the daily stuff, checking in with the folks, bringing them the shop and all that. Whereas when COVID finished up and things were reopening, I felt like I kind of swooped in with the grander gestures and I was like, let's book a night in a hotel. Let's do Nullag and Mom. We'd never done that before. And I feel like we had so many, we had maybe about six big occasions over the last year that my brother was like, geez, it was almost like we were doing a make-a-wish. We didn't even realize. It was almost, had we known the end was coming, we would have done all of these things as well, because I remember exactly her Mother's Day. I remember what I would have got her for Christmas Day, like all of these things. We had so many lovely days. We did like a random afternoon tea out in the Westbury, where I spoke about organising a surprise birthday party for John in the July, which she wasn't there for. But, you know, I remember, I have all these lovely, vivid memories of her that I'm so glad. Now, I wasn't good at the day-to-day stuff, as my family would testify, in terms of checking in and everything. But I think when I did show up, I was like, right, now we've got these big memories to hold on to. So I'm really glad for that.
Isn't it lovely for you that you don't have any regrets then?
No, I don't actually.
That's great.
I don't.
Because I would imagine that is not the case for everyone that loses a parent. Mm.
And that was also my thing about giving up work. I was like, if I don't, like, I thought I'd have mum around for a lot longer. And then I started getting really like, what if something happened to me? What if I have a health scare or something and I take for granted that there's all this time and then there just isn't? So, yeah, it definitely, you do feel like, oh, geez, make it count. Yeah, make it count.
Yeah. So what is a typical day like? You know, so obviously this morning, Ireland AM.
Yes.
So today is not maybe a typical day, right? But a day where you're not working per se and you're at home with the kids. So what is it like now at home? Just talk me through what happens in the morning. I mean, obviously, you're getting the kids up for school and all that jazz.
Yeah.
What does it look like?
Chaos.
Okay. So
noisy.
You're in a new house, you said.
Yes.
Only when did you move?
We moved maybe 5 months after mum died. So all of this
kind
of...
Oh, wow. That's a lot going on. Because they say the moving house is one of the most traumatic things you can do.
I think we're in that house because of mum. Like, honestly, John was like, it wasn't really on the cards. And then he was like, do you know what? Let's just go for it.
Okay.
I do wish mum had been there, because it's such a family home, and I know I would have loved to have heard her opinions about this, that, and what, all the rest of it. But I do think I owe her that in a way. I owe this house, and it's our kind of forever home now, in terms of it's got the garden, the trampoline, the kids can play, the play dates, the football. We didn't have that before.
Okay.
So that's been transformative in terms of having two very rambunctious little boys. So we're in this house, so there's always a plumber calling or an electrician still. We're still in that kind of phase. And it's chaos. And it's me shouting at the kids to put their shoes on 10 times. Boys don't listen. And Eve giving out that I'm hurting her head when I'm brushing her hair. Like all that stuff. Like, I'm not, like, I'd love to say I'm going to be, like, it's going to be amazing to be at home all the time with my kids. But, like, it's really hard going, you know. There's just those little annoyances. So we are flying down to school. We're able to walk down to school. I come back. I'm trying to prioritise fitness now at the age of 42.
Good on you.
So trying to get to the gym a couple of times a week. And then we're walking the dogs. We got a dog as well in the last year, Sheila. So new house, new dog. And I'm walking the dogs. Like, life
is busy.
So you've
dogs?
Yeah, I've got two now.
What are they?
Nidge. Nidge after Love Out. Yeah. King Nidge. He's Nidgey. Yeah. He's our puppy golden retriever. He just turned one.
Okay.
And he's the size of this table. He's some sort of super breed we weren't aware of. He's absolutely massive. And then we have a rescue called Brownie, who's 10, and she's from Dogs Trust. So she's a very loyal servant. Life is busy, even if you were just getting three kids out the door and kind of thinking about what to have for the dinner and doing a bit of housework and then collecting them at 20 past two. So I've only had about 6 weeks where I haven't been working, and then in between all that, we've had Christmas and Finn's birthday and a party, and there has been a lot going on. So yeah, it's busy.
And John as well has retired to a degree.
Yes, John used to run QuoteDevil.ie and Pembroke Insurances. And
our little boy Colin was obsessed with that ad. I think I said it to him.
Yes,
when I bumped
the jingle.
A few years ago.
Yes,
obsessed.
Loads of babies were. It was so weird.
Oh my God.
Like, if he tried to do that, he wouldn't have been able to.
I think I was trying to show you a video.
Yes,
that
I
night.
Do remember.
But yeah, we've so many videos of Colin just going absolutely crazy
for the QuoteDevil.
For the QuoteDevil when he was
mental.
A small baby.
Yeah, he ended up getting teddies made and giving them to customers. It was bizarre. John's story is another story. He, after basically caning it in 30 years of business and trying to make it work and make it successful, he sold his businesses. So he is in the second act of his life. So I started looking at him going, he's having a great time now getting hobbies and stuff. And I have no hobbies. My hobby is going into work and having that me time. So yeah, so it's a very different sort of landscape for us over the last 2 years than it was previously, you know, because it was just very different for him. He had a very difficult journey, recession, all the stuff. It was all really, really hard for him. But thankfully, he got a happy ending out
okay,
of
great.
It, you know.
Yeah. So this is a really exciting and different time for both of you, for you as a family. It's all about exploring new territory, seeing where it'll go.
Mm.
But I mean, that's what's interesting, right? So you make your you know, you have your announcement in November, but then...
Which I was actually really glad to do because loads of people just disappear. It was nice to be able to say, guys, I'm going to go.
Absolutely.
I really appreciated that, actually.
And as you said, you know, it would be a lot different if the decision was made to, oh, we're not going to have Karen anymore.
Mm.
Like, that's completely different.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's much harder, obviously.
Yeah, yeah.
So when you're doing it, you're the one in control. You're the one making the decision. And now it's leaving you open to new possibilities. Because you have done other types of programming. I loved your documentary that you did years ago, Mammy Guilt. It was the True Lives documentary. I thought that was absolutely brilliant. Am I right in thinking it was about 6 years ago?
Yeah, because I found out I was pregnant with Eve while making it.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah,
and that was so great because, look... We've all been there. Obviously, it impacts women more so than men, but parental guilt is a thing, but mammy guilt, mother of the mind. But you explored it so brilliantly. I thought it was really great. So that type of programming is something you could explore also. So look, sure, you're only a young one. I'm only 42.
If. Yeah, I don't know, but I never had that. And people are like, and after that was made, I sound so boring banging on about it, but everyone's like, are you going to make another? I was like, I have a day job. Like, I can't. And that only came about because TV3 kind of did a workshop and said, right, you know, we want to see what ideas can come from our own staff. And loads, you know, there was lots of different proposals put up. And subsequent there was as well, like Dating the Enemy, I'm pretty sure, was also a result of those workshops. And that was really successful and got sold abroad and everything. But like, I'm not a girl who's good at, I'm like, you're probably brilliant. Do you always have ideas on the back burner? I just don't. Like,
no,
I just have nothing.
No.
I have like, what am I making for dinner? Whose soccer boots were left out in the rain? I have no TV ideas. So like, when people kept asking me, I was like, I would actually literally have to stop working to be able to think of something that would work. So when everyone asked me what's next, I was like, I'm just going to do the day job. Like, stop asking me. So maybe there's something in that, or maybe there isn't. Like, that's the worry when you step out, that it's like, they're going to go, no, there's nothing for you. Like, I basically warned the bosses. I was like, if you don't answer the phone to me, if I ring you next year. So they've been very kind and kind of said, no, don't worry, the door's open. So, but we'll see.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe I'll just decide. I don't know. I just don't want to. I don't know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But isn't it good to know that that'll be your choice, you know?
We'll see. And I am a hyper aware that I'm very lucky to have a choice in this, because it sounds very privileged that I was able to step back. So that's, I just want to acknowledge that it's not the choice for most working
parents. As in that you're in a financial situation.
Exactly.
Where you
just kind
yeah,
of like,
of course.
Just,
I know.
It's just one of those things that I don't want, you know, it's, I know how lucky I am to be able
yeah,
to do
sure,
that.
Sure, sure, sure.
I don't want to be, you
yeah.
know, sound too precious about
no,
it.
No, of
know?
Course, of course. So podcasting is a little different. As we were talking about before we started to record, like, you know, coming from traditional media, you get your chunk of 8 minutes, whatever it is,
yeah.
to get what you need out of your guest. Whereas we haven't looked at a watch. I don't know what time it is. We're just chatting, going with the flow. How has it been? Genuinely, you don't have to, I'm not telling you to tell me, oh, it was great, I loved it. But really, what was this experience like for you?
I was nervous because I'm used to being the one who's read the notes about the person sitting on the opposite side of the desk.
Yeah.
So the fact that you even knew facts about me, I'm quite flattered, because I'm like, oh my gosh, you knew that. Because I'm so used to doing that for someone else. It's actually very nice to hear. Like, that you remembered it was even a True Life strand that documentary was, or that you knew the kids' names and stuff. So it's very nice. It's very weird because I'm a terrible guest, and I'm so normal that I'm like, this isn't worthy of a download at all. But it's just nice, I guess.
So I'm going to tell you from my perspective why I wanted to have you on. So we're not necessarily friends, but I've bumped into you at different points over the years because of maybe I'm popped into R&DM, or I remember once I bumped into you in a gym. But what I've noticed about you every time I've ever met you is you're the same girl I've met in a studio or outside the studio.
You're very nice.
And that's lovely.
Thanks, Sheila.
And that's really nice. I think you're cool. I get the feeling from you that you're a girl's girl, and
very
that you're a good
so.
You're a good
Can't
pal.
Can't really talk to men other than my husband. I'm pretty crap.
I just really like you.
Oh,
I think,
Sheila.
Yeah, I really like you, and I think you're a nice person, and I think you're really good at what you do, and I'm excited for you to see what you do next. Thank you for being so open. I know that it went to some emotional spots, and I hope you didn't feel too vulnerable.
No, and do you know what? That's why I didn't talk about Mum for so long, because it just felt like way too much. So I actually feel it's kind of nice honouring her in this way, because she was such a massive support and, you know, was always there for me, and was the one watching back the very early Ireland Day weather reports when I'd ring her at 7:30, 8:30, Mum, how did I do? Yeah, you're grand, but you're not holding the microphone in the middle of your chat. Like, she literally was that person for me, giving me her feedback. So no, I kind of like that I'm able to remember her in this way.
Yeah, lovely. Thanks.
Thanks, Sheila.
If you enjoyed this conversation with Karen, please tell at least one other person about it. I'd be so grateful. And you can also dive back into previous episodes of the pod. I've recorded over 160 conversations at this stage, so there really is something for everyone in there. Thank you so much for listening to Ready to Be Real.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
This message comes from BOF sponsor eBay. You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee. And you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, or sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly. eBay gets it. So look for the blue checkmark next to that thing you love. And be confident that every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is checked by experts. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.